Amen.
Amen.
Spirit of grace. Let him impart it.
Amen.
Did y'all get some different reflect on the spirit of grace?
Yes.
You know, we've had a lot of teaching, but I took a little longer because I wanted to open your eyes to that truth. Mm-hmm. Okay? Amen. Okay, Apostle.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I was ready to go to chapter 6, but I was looking at truth last night, and some things jumped out at me about the spirit of truth. When this is on page 85, sometimes the things that the Holy Spirit will help us see, it'll be new to us, but it's true. He said, but when the comfort, this is my favorite verse. It builds on what Jesus has already done for us. He said, but when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. He's quoting St. John 15:26. And then he said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, this is my favorite scripture, John 16:13. Mm-hmm. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Yes.
And we learn things from the world system. We've had all kind of examples and persuasions from the world. And so as we get to know the Lord, the wisdom of God forms in us. We believe it, then we receive it, and we act on it. And it works to drive out the darkness of the world.
Yes.
Remember, we're made in God's image, and we're supposed to do what he does. We're designed to operate just like him. In Genesis 1, when we first met God, he said, let there be light. And then he said, and God divided the light from the darkness. He's always doing that. So as we receive truth, we make our choices by the truth of God's word. Mm-hmm. and we see the darkness for what it is, then we just drive it out of our life. It's like what David was saying earlier, and it reminded me of something Pastor said. Mary touched on it too this morning. But Pastor put it differently than Andrew Womack. He said, When you study the Word of God, he said demons fall off your life. Mm-hmm. And I asked him some questions about it, but what he was saying, when you're receiving the Word of God, the enemy don't have anything to attach to. In order for you to be deceived, you got to believe the wrong thing. Now you believe the right thing. So the hooks that would have attached the enemy to you fall off because they can't hold on. You're governing your life by the word of God, and not the wisdom of the world, but the word of God. So, the spirit of truth, he teaches us at our pace, but our pace gets greater. We're able to run faster and faster with him as we receive from him. Now, you can't see the Holy Spirit talking, but his voice is loud when you receive the word of God. His voice will become, and he still speaks in a still small voice, but it's more recognizable when you fill your heart with the word of God. And he knows precisely how you think and what you can receive at what rate. So, he's your best teacher.
Amen.
And When he give you a truth, it's ushering you in to receive more truth.
Mm, that's good.
He will guide you into all truth, but he won't make you go there. You got to do that. Mm-hmm. He guides you to it. And that's when you're going to have to take him seriously. Sometimes people don't take the Holy Spirit serious because
Amen.
Their will is too strong. Now, many people in the church arena have used fasting to counter that. Fasting weakens your will, weakens you, weakens your body, the voice of your flesh. Mm-hmm. That's what fasting will do. But I found something work better than fasting, and that's a healthy intake of the Word of God.
Amen.
Repeat that.
I found something that works better than fasting. That's a healthy intake of the Word of God. If you receive the Word of God, your spirit becomes dominant.
Yes.
He's becoming nourished and built up and strong. And then you go back and ask the Lord questions. Dialogue with Him about what you're learning. When that's in place, you're going to learn. Every time I have I know that if God tell me something, He expect me to do it, and He expect me to live by it, govern my life by it. But if I have a problem with it, or if I want more understanding, so I will follow through and not stop taking God serious. So I say, well, Lord, what about this? How do I do it? And I dialogue with Him. And it works. If your concerns are settled, you're more apt to stick with it. Now she said, we cannot know God without knowing the Spirit of truth. We cannot receive anything God has for us in the light of the Word. We cannot receive anything God has for us in the light of the Word if the Holy Spirit does not illuminate it to us. So if He illuminated to me while I'm understanding it, remember, the Word of God is a charge. It can leave just like it came. Just like if you charge your battery and your car won't crank, it'll turn over, but it won't crank. Eventually, it starts turning over slower and slower because it's losing the charge. So when the Lord speaks to me, I'm charged. While I'm charged, I try to get a grip on it. I write it in my heart. I meditate on it until it's a part of me. And I ask the Lord my questions so that I can stick with it. Because people don't always stick with the charge of God's Word, whether it's the written Word or the spoken Word. But if you do, it's going to always work and never fail you. And it will help you see God in a greater way. And she said, so the Holy Spirit he illuminates the Word to us. She said, Jesus said, He had many things to say to His disciples, but they could not bear them yet. Yet He also said that when the Holy Spirit of truth would come, He would receive the things of Jesus and show them to them. And that's what happened. When Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, everything came together. Everything Jesus had been preparing Him for. When the Holy Spirit came on Him, everything came together. And He said, this is that. This is what the prophet Joel was talking about. It was all revelation and illumination to Him. So the truth of God's Word, it grows in us. We have to receive it, and we have to stick with it. The world comes to challenge it. The worldly challenges are designed to help us refrain from it. Distract us so that we'll walk away from the wisdom of God. And now this is an example of how the Lord will introduce us to truth. She said in the second paragraph here on 86, we do not understand truth in the same degree we did when we were first born again, that we do after we have walked with God for several years. When a 3-year-old asks his father where babies come from, his father will not give him the same kind of answer that he would give his teenage son. And she said, in the same way, when we were first born again, we did not understand truth as one who has walked with God for many years would understand it. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father grows as we mature enough to develop a capacity to receive divine truth. So when you receive the truth of God's Word, your ability to receive more increases. It goes up. When you stick with what God say do, you're going to see you'll see why He said it. You learn a portion of God's Word from, it's introduced to you when you read it or hear what the Holy Spirit say. But when you act on it, you see the wisdom in it. And it's even greater. It's like you become a professional in that area of life. You grow from glory to glory. It becomes part of you. It's kind of like a man taking karate. he has muscle memories for all the different moves that he do. And under attack, he doesn't even have to think. He just automatically go with what needs to happen. The same thing with all professions. Whatever you're doing, when this particular problem comes along, you say, and you know just how to attack it. You know just how to deal with it. That's what happens as we follow the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to trust where the Spirit guides you to. David said something that reminded me of my early days. When I first got called to the ministry, I had an auto mechanic business. It was Hamburg's Mobile Auto Service. I used to go to people's houses and fix their cars. And I wanted to concentrate more on ministry, but with ministry, the Lord always included my business. And I had to learn that the business is part of the ministry. I didn't understand that back then. I was looking at a more traditional method of doing ministry. But working at people's houses, I would listen to people talk. Sometimes people would sit on the front porch and talk while I'm working on their car. I heard all kind of conversations. And some people don't believe in sowing and reaping as much as they would, because what they see people their age doing whatever they do. But I worked on a variety of age. My customers was of every age. And sometimes older people would talk about what they used to do, and I could see what was going on at this stage in their life. And sometimes they'd talk about things they did and how it affected their life. Now, you can't get that information unless you spend time with people. But I heard so many conversations, I saw the same pattern of sowing and reaping. And David said the man ran around on his wife, and then later on he had medical problems because of it in his older age. I seen so many, you know, I was in a situation to learn those kind of things, that sowing and reaping is real. Not just, you know, I read it in the paper, I believed it. You can read it in the Word. You can see the things that, how Jacob tricked his brother, and then how Laban tricked Jacob. It's coming back. What you sow, you reap. It's impossible for it not to. And was he blessed of God? He was still blessed of God, but just like he deceived others, others deceived him. And I got a chance to witness these things from many different people. Different races, different ages, everybody. They shared. And the happiest people are people who went to church, they took their family to church, and trained them in the Lord. Their children finished college and got jobs, and they were able to take vacations. Others, they had to bail their children out of jail. I saw needs. I saw what could be, and what God wanted, how God wanted things to be, and the path that people were taking, and it made me want to do something. Working like I did was my college. I learned a lot about people by obeying God. I followed Him where He wanted me to go. I was like, Lord, don't you want me to go to school? He kept talking about the business. And now, and another part, God had me right where He wanted me. At lunchtime, I listened to Kenneth Hagin every day. And when Charles Capps, Kenneth Hagin, Scott Webb, when they would come on the radio, I made it my business to work near my truck so I could listen to them. Sometime I'd crank my trucks. I just turned the radio on, and from time to time I'd crank it so my battery would stay charged up. But I it worked out. What God guides you to, that's your path. If you work that path, it's going to work. What God give you, whatever He bring to you, whatever He's talking about the most, that's where you're going to find your greatest victory. The Spirit of Truth, He won't guide you wrong. And you have to do it. If you do precisely what it's going to work, and then you'll be qualified for the next step. He works, He guides us from glory to glory. The Holy Spirit manages everything. In our preparing stage, He'll show us what to do. Then as we do those things, He'll give you the assignments. He prepare you for assignments. Then when He give you the assignments, you're going to walk it through by your faith. So the Spirit of Truth is instrumental in helping you to grow from glory to glory, and then finishing the assignments that he gives. And sometimes people stop short somewhere and they never can get to what God was going to. Most people never finish their ministry. Most people never finish their course because they traditionalize it. They do the things that they put their will first or others' will, other people's will. You got to follow the Holy Spirit's path and you'll be on point. And he'll set things up. You will win. It's going to work. You can't fail. It's not by might. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by his Spirit. My mind just can't do it. But if I can yield to the Holy Spirit, I can do anything. I can do what it's just like we were saying in the first class this morning, the children of Israel taking Canaan land. That was not going to happen without God. But they had seen enough miracles. If they learned to cooperate with the Lord, they would have been like Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to go immediately because their hearts was charged with all the miracles, all the rebukes, all the instructions of the law. They received it. So they didn't see giants. They was like David. They didn't see a giant. They didn't see giant. They didn't come back with an evil report. He said, let's take it at once, Caleb said. They were settled. But all the other 10 spies, they saw giants and impossibility. But they saw, they experienced the same miracles. They heard the same law. They heard the same counsel of Moses. But they missed the point. When we look to the Lord, we can receive his truth, and then we can easily act on it, and it'll work. More people are like the 10 spies than the 2 spies, unfortunately. But be the 2 spies. Be what God called you. Be like Jesus. Jesus never disobeyed the Father. Whatever the Father said, he embraced it and brought it forth. And the least of us can do the same thing. You don't have to have the recognition of man. If you do what God got you to do, you'll be prepared to fulfill a need that he has, that he designed you for. And whatever he calls you to do, you're the best candidate at that time in the whole world to do it. I will. Any comments? Questions? Comments? All right. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to do all that's in your heart. Help us to see every revelation that you provide and build our lives by the truth that you alert us to. And be with Pastor today and bless everybody today in the church as we go forward in you. Help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right.